brand new tongue. Peter got up and started preaching. Repent and be baptized. He told everybody to do it in the name of Jesus.
Tell you what, I've got I got two things on my mind tonight. I think we'll do thing number two, and we'll save thing number one for Wednesday night. Which is hard for you to respond because you don't know what the difference is between thing number one and thing number two. Brother Kenny Avery, wave your hand. Where are you? Oh, he's outside recruiting. Brother Ken Avery is going to head up our tear down and set up team for this coming Friday evening. And we need to get ready for the team fair. Brother Kenny, let's do some business right here. Would you like to tear down Wednesday night after church? If we had enough beef in here to do it, that'd be a lot simpler because we're already here. All in favor, said aye. And all the men that are going to help, say me. All right. Now, that wasn't as strong as the ayes. Let's go back to all those men that are going to help, said aye. All right. That ought to be enough then. And we'll have the floor covering. It doesn't take many to cover the floor because you'll all get wrapped up in that sticky stuff. And so, praise God. So we took care of that. So you want to have a meeting after church tonight? All right, meet with Brother Kenny in the prayer room so you'll be able to tell him that you're going to be on board with him. Praise God. Praise God. Tonight, let's stop in Psalms 119, a couple of verses, and we're continuing our way through the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Psalms 119, and let's just do the... Let's do the last two verses in this segment, or rather the first two verses in this segment, verses 129 and 130. Would you say, thy testimonies are wonderful?
Thy testimonies are wonderful.
Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated if you love his word. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word tonight. Forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. Now come on. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word. It is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. Praise God. I've got a line of teaching that I want to do in this passage, but let's save that for Wednesday evening. And then I just had a thought or two I wanted to share with you tonight, and then I'm gonna turn you loose. How many of you have one of these little basic Pentecostal doctrine books? How many of you have one? How many of you would like one, brother John? Do you have a box full of these? Okay, need to touch base with Sister Linda Pate. Let me explain this book to you. This book is an old piece of Bible quizzing material from the early 70s. And Sister Linda and Sister Shauna Tyus just put a new face on it. That's all they did. So we're tricking you. You think it's a new book, but it's not. And really, I don't care if you buy it. If you're destitute, we'll give you one. But don't lie about it, because then you'll go to hell over $4, and that'd be a travesty. But we would give you one, because everybody needs one of these. In that year, somewhere back in the early 70s, this book was compiled by the Home Missions Department and used for Bible quizzing. Bible quizzing is when our children master scriptures, and they memorize scriptures, and then they utilize that scripture to ask to answer questions in competitive formats. And so they'll be asked questions, complex questions, 3- and 4-part questions, and then they have to respond. And it's an excellent thing for our kids because they bury the Word of God down in their hearts. Now, this complicates things when you're standing there to support me and I'm behind you, huh? But it's okay. You do whatever makes you feel fine. And in 1974... Sister Sutton and I and our peer group, folks that we had gone to high school with and were in college with and we were growing up with, we got a hold of a tape by Josh McDowell on prophecy. And that tape rattled our cages because it told us the story of the Word of God projecting the return of Israel to the land. It told the story of a 2,000-year-old scripture that prophesied the rebuilding of Jerusalem. The prophecy about Israel returning was almost 3,000 years old. And the prophecies in that simple little presentation clarified for me for the very first time in my life that the Word of God was true. Because the prophecy will prove that to you. Because it's impossible that Israel is there. And it's impossible that Jerusalem has been rebuilt and that they're speaking Hebrew in the walls of that city tonight. Not only is it impossible that they're there, but the Word of God told about it from millenniums ago. And so it stirred us up. Now, I was raised Southern Baptist. My wife was raised Presbyterian and Catholic. And we didn't have any understanding about the Word of God. We kind of felt like that the answer probably was not where we were from. But we went back to those places just to ask the questions and just to find out if they knew, because we needed somebody, Brother Oswaldo, to tell us what we needed to do in order to be right with the God of this book that was projecting future events from 3,000 years out. Now he had our attention. Now I wanted to know what to do. And I had been raised in a situation where I struggled with that just believe in your heart business. And I found myself in a place of continual confusion, trying to be good and not understanding why I didn't feel any satisfaction in my soul about the condition of my eternity. And so we called priests and we called preachers. And I went back and saw Brother Jimmy, my Baptist preacher. And we just said, tell us what we need to do. And a friend of Sister Sutton's sister that had gone to school with us, she went to a Holy Roller church there in Baton Rouge. And she found out that we were looking. And so she came with a Bible study chart. Thank God for little apostolic girls that'll put a Bible study chart under their arm and walk out in the middle of a moonlit night in a cow pasture in Louisiana with the old Spanish moss flying in the moonlit breeze. And she knows there's a bunch of freaks in this trailer she's about to knock on the door of. But she comes on in anyway with her Bible study chart. And she opens it up, Brother Travis, in the middle of that bunch of freaks and hippies. And she begins to tell us, we want to know about prophecy, but she starts to tell us about Acts 2:38. We want to know about Jerusalem and Israel, but she starts telling us about the Holy Ghost. We want to know about prophetic events, but she starts telling us about the power of the name of Jesus. And I went back to my pastor and I said, explain these differentials to me. Explain to me why I'm hearing something that I've never heard before. And I'm not just hearing it, but they're going to chapter and verse and I'm reading it for myself. I'm beginning to see something that I've never seen before. Praise God. The entrance, everybody say, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. If we can just get the word down inside somebody's heart, if we can penetrate somebody's thinking and their mind with the Word of God, it doesn't matter where they are or where they're from or what their disposition is. If we can get the Word of God, and it's so amazing what a seed can do. I remember walking out of the back of Buongiorno's, and I do that almost every Monday evening. But I remember a few summers ago, there's a crack between the edge of the building and the sidewalk there, and a tomato plant started making his way up out of there. And that tomato plant just kept right on growing and growing. It's amazing what a seed will do. If a seed can, you may be a solid wall of resistance, but if I can just find a little crack, if I can get the Word of God down in there just somewhere, I'm telling you, church, don't look on the outside. It may look like a brick wall and a concrete sidewalk, but if the seed of the Word of God can find a place to penetrate. Everyone say, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Ah, they may be dark on the inside. They may have been raised up in a witch's coven. Their dad may be the high priest of the bugaboos. Their family might be witches and warlocks and demon worshipers. But if I can get that seed down in there, it gives light. Somewhere in there, the light's gonna come on. It doesn't matter how deep the darkness, the word of God is bigger. No, you got to hear this. The light of God is bigger, greater than any dark void in the soul of a man or a woman. Oh, yeah, we're just right tonight. Yeah, thing number two is exactly what we need to do here tonight. So we started calling. I called priests. I called preachers. I called every denomination I could think of. Would you explain to me why these apostolics have such ready answers in the Word of God, and why it is so conflicting with my background and what I've been told before? And Sister Pat, that was her name, she hooked us up with a couple of older couples. They were like 25, 26. They were old. We were 20. These were old people. They had kids. So they hooked us up with some old people. One was named Wayne and the other was named Skip. And Skip was a big, stocky Greek with a point of hair right here in the middle of his forehead and piercing, penetrating eyes. And he had a way of pointing his finger at you when he was making a point about the kingdom of God and the word of God. It's like he's trying to get that word down in you, because he knows if I can get it in him, then the light's going to come on. And I would ask him questions. I would ask him questions like, my wife would ask him, where's the sinner's prayer? And they would say, it ain't in there. You come on, you're kidding me. I've heard that all my life. That's all I've ever heard, the sinner's prayer. It's got to be in there, but it's not in there. We ask them, well, what do you have to do to be saved? And they went to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I said, what's the Holy Ghost? Because we didn't know. And I said, in my home church, we baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they said, well, none of the apostles did it that way. And they began to give me scripture. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, time and time again, everywhere the apostles went, everywhere that first generation church went, they taught the same message. It was Jesus' name baptism. It was Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. It was repentance. It was water baptism. It was Holy Ghost and fire. Everywhere they went. We thought they were geniuses. But they had only had the Holy Ghost since April, and it was August. But they had a little book in their hand. And when we'd ask them a question, one of them would have us on the phone, and the other one would have the book. And all this is a listing of scriptures. Scriptures about the Holy Ghost. Scriptures about baptism. Scriptures about repentance. It's not what a man has to say, but it's what God has to say about man. And in those early Bible studies and those after-hours meetings with chips and cokes and in their home, we had an emergence of preachers, and out of that crowd came three or four or five preachers. And tonight I know of three churches that are still up and running that came out of that one little Bible study and those night sessions with chips and dip. You never know where the word of God is going to go when you cast it out there, but the entrance of the word of God brings forth light. Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell them, the entrance of the word of God gives light. It'll help you to understand, even though you are simple. Now, you're not talking about your neighbor there. You're just quoting the scripture to them. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. So I asked them, I said, listen, we were all baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you're saying, and apparently these scriptures are saying, Dustin, give us Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And this is reiterated in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19. Matter of fact, nobody was baptized any other way in the whole of the Word of God than in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Nobody in the whole Word of God was baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I said, please explain this to me. I went back to my Baptist pastor. He closed the Bible and he said this. He said, I'll take Jesus' word over Peter. Well, I closed mine and I closed the door and I walked on out, because if it's not all God's word, then none of it's God's word. If it's not all true, then none of it's true. And you may not understand it, but I've got to make this thing work together. But I went back to the Holy Rollers and they said, oh, he doesn't understand, but you need to understand. And they began to sow the seed of the Word of God in my life. And they said, what you got to understand is Matthew 28 and 19 says, go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, that seems pretty cut and dry till you get down to where Peter begins to preach and Paul preaches and Philip preaches, and they all baptize in the name of Jesus. What's the discrepancy there? And they told me there's no discrepancy, but what Jesus gave was a command, and what the apostles did was fulfill the command. He said, baptize in the name, not names. In the name, not names. In the only name given among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved, not names. In the single name, the saving name. Because Jesus is the name of the Father. Jesus is the name of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the name of the Son. Somebody say praise the Lord. Dustin, give me Isaiah 9 and 6. Praise God. In the name singular, three prepositional phrases: of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Light went off in my head. Light opened up. I remember the night my wife first saw this revelation, and it was like Skipper was sitting right in front of her, and he was pointing at the Bible, and he gets right in your face, and he's pointing at her, and she said, oh, you mean that Jesus is God. How did it go? You're correcting me. Tell it.
He showed me the scripture, 1 Timothy 3:16. I mean, is it second or first?
You can't tell it like I can.
It's first? Okay. There it is. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to Gentiles. And I knew who that was. So I saw it. And it was, for all of you that's been raised in the church, and you've always believed in the oneness of God, it was like, it was as big as an experience as receiving the Holy Ghost the first time when you speak in tongues. When you see that Jesus is God, it suddenly the whole, everything made sense. You know, it just made sense. It was like, and I really did see it. It's like somebody, like I just ran into a brick wall. It was such a experience, you know. And anyway, he saw it all over me. And he said, you see it, you see it. And I said, I do see it, you know.
See, fellas, you just got to let them talk now. Because you can't tell it like they can tell it. But Skipper said, she sees it. She sees it. He's thumping his Bible. She sees it. She sees it. What had happened? In 1 minute, she was dark concerning the matter. She had no understanding in the matter. But the Word of God, it wasn't logic. It wasn't reason. It wasn't intellectual power. It wasn't force. It wasn't intimidation. It was the Word of God coming down. And light came on. Somebody say praise the Lord. Anybody here remember the moment you saw it? Anybody here remember when you saw that it was the name of Jesus that you needed to be baptized? And anybody remember that? Anybody remember when you saw? Go back to Isaiah 9 and 6. Anybody remember when you saw that the little baby that was born in Bethlehem was Wonderful Counselor? Everybody said the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I've been in Bible studies and I can see the light come on. It's like boom. And sometimes they'll say something like, you mean it was Jesus, God, that died on the cross? It was God himself that died on the cross. Yeah, that's absolutely right. It wasn't a piece of God or a part of God, because Colossians 2, chapter 8, 9, and 10, chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, declares that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen all of God. I said, when you've seen Jesus, you've seen all of God. John chapter 14. And Jesus is with Philip. And Philip said, you are always talking about the Father. Show us the Father. And it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you this long? You still don't know me? Now, who was he asking to see? The Father. And the Father said, have I been with you this long? And you still, you see, the flesh is the Son, but the Spirit within is the Father. The flesh is the Christ, but the Spirit within is the Creator. The flesh on the outside had a beginning. It was born at Bethlehem. It just stayed for 9 months in Mary's womb. It was born at Bethlehem. But the Spirit on the inside is the eternal God, the everlasting Father. Somebody say the everlasting Father. Praise God. He said, Philip, and when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My God, when I hear the word of God, the light comes on. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we wanted to know about that Holy Ghost. And they said, well, look right here. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You'll be baptized in Jesus' name. God will wash your sins away, and you'll get the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, they got the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 8, they got the Holy Ghost. And everybody around them knew there was a physical or an audible sign. Acts chapter 10, the house of Cornelius, God filled the whole house and everybody in it with the Holy Ghost. And the Jews that were there with Peter knew they had gotten the Holy Ghost because they heard them speak in tongues. Acts chapter 19, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. He said, well, how are you baptized? They said, like John baptized. He said, that's the problem. You got to be rebaptized. He rebaptized them in Jesus. You mean if I've been baptized already, I need to get baptized in Jesus' name? Absolutely. Indubitably. Without doubt. You got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And the only thing that's got the power to give you a new birth is the name of Jesus. Oh, clap your hands and shout to him. You know what we're doing here tonight? Do you know what we're doing here tonight? Do you understand what we're doing here tonight? We're sowing seed. We're planting seed. And when the seed makes its entrance, light comes on. And it's not just you that's here, but tonight there's people in Africa, people in Asia, and people in the United States that are going to hear everything we do in this place. Bing, 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 little lights coming on. If you weren't here Wednesday night, I told about an email that Brother Dustin sent me. It came from Montreal. And the brother in Montreal said, I want to thank y'all so much for the website. I want to thank you so much because as I'm witnessing to people, I send them to the website. I let them listen to the preaching and all of it. He said all 12 of them now are attending United Pentecostal churches. He's winning people to God with these services. They're stepping in vicariously. They're stepping in. My God, and what's happening? The word's going out. And where the word, are you tired of the darkness on your job? Are you tired of the darkness in your house? Are you tired of the darkness at your school? In your city? The entrance of the word of God giveth light. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Help me. If church is going to be like this, Liz, you're going to have to just stay up here. Never go down. Praise God. Well, good. That was thing number two. And that's good. That's exactly what we needed to do tonight. Number one is Wednesday night. I had to come back. Number one is the shaping of the theological thought. The creating of the construct within which we house this energy of the truth of the Word of God. We don't have time for that tonight. Because I'm going to let you go in time to get to McDonald's here. Bum, bum, bum. Somebody say, Turn to your neighbor and say, when I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, when I think of his goodness and how he set me free, makes me want to shout, shout, shout all night. Praise God. Has anybody seen the light? Have you had the Word of God emerge in your life? I'm glad tonight that I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy roller, born again, heaven-bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. Well, praise God. Now listen to me. This thing is going to get berserk. If these children bother you, you need to know this is what we've been preaching to them. This is what we've been telling them about. This is the hope that we've lifted up to them. I'd rather have them passionate about God than anything else. I'd rather have them standing in the altar of the house of God than standing against the bar at a local dive. I'd rather have them dancing in the house of God than dancing down at the honky-tonk. That's how I feel about it. Praise God. Praise God. Can we all come down to the altar tonight? Step up, kids. Step up. Yeah, yeah. Tell them I've got that Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible said. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible said. Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. Satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing. I wouldn't take nothing. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Somebody shout, it's just like the Bible says. Turn to somebody and tell them, I went down in the water in Jesus' name. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and I talked in tongues. I repented of my sin and Jesus washed them all away.
Hallelujah.
I've got a hope in my life that the world didn't give me and the world can't take it away. Praise God. Now, listen, this is all I want you to do. I want you to go wherever you go tonight. If you go to Burger Doodle, or if you go by Walmart, or wherever you go, everybody you talk to, I want you to fling a little word on them. Plant a little word on them. You know the Bible says, you know the word says, or you can just speak for the kingdom. Thus saith the Lord. Try that. It's got a lot of power in it. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. I mean, when you say that in the aisle at Walmart, it gets people's attention. They stop right there in the middle of the cereal aisle. They want to hear what thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer, has to say. And when you walk into your school tomorrow, down the aisles, down the halls, in the classroom, and on the job tomorrow, come on, the Word of God gives entrance to light. Praise God. Let's give God thanks tonight. I want you to just lift your hands, lift your voice. Let's give Him thanks. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, mighty, 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 mighty God. We magnify You. We worship You. We lift You up, oh God. Take somebody's hand, just shout a little bit with them. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God.
Joy when I think about. Joy when I think about. He gives me joy. 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 Joy.
If you were wondering what I was just doing, we were preaching in Veracruz, Mexico last year. And they'd get a chain going down through the middle of the altar. They'd get a crowd just making their way through. My God, there was so much Holy Ghost down in that place. And I just wanted to see what it felt like here. Praise God. Would you do something right now to lay your hand on somebody right by you? And I want you to pray down an anointing on their life. Pray down the Word of God on their life. Blessings. Anointing. Favor. An open door. The strength of God. Pouring out of the Holy Ghost.
Come on.